things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, sponsored by Catch 'Em All Sporting Goods, Heroes Painting, Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys, Young's Drugstore, Perryland Foods, Everything Sports, and Clay and Coosa County District Attorney Joe Fickwit. Now, here are Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
We welcome you in to Football Fiesta on this Thursday night, coming to you live from Monte Albán Bar and Grill, the east side of the historic Clay County Courthouse Square. On this Thursday night, Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, the voice of our volunteers, Rusty Taylor. He'll be making his way in shortly. We're glad you're here with us this evening. Good crowd here at Monte Albán Bar and Grill. And, Coach, we've got another volunteer victory to talk about tonight. These folks are here celebrating it. We'll talk about this win from last week in round one, and we'll look at round two coming up tomorrow night. But another good night. We're here again with another win.
That's right, Coach. And, of course, tonight we'll be talking about that 48-7 win that we had last week in the first round over Sipsey Valley. And we'll be looking at Andalusia a little bit later in the program tonight. And, of course, the player of the week from the Sipsey Valley game is here with us tonight, and we'll be talking with him. And I suppose his position coach will be along with him. But a lot of things planned here for this program tonight.
We'll work our way through it. We'll take a look back at that game with Sipsey Valley. As Coach Weems mentioned, 48-7 for our volunteers of Central Clay County over Sipsey Valley last Friday night. We'll have our AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week, Miles Parker, a defensive lineman. Coach, one of those guys you like across that defensive front. A big night for him last week. Defensive line coach Rock Ward will be joining him here. We'll talk to him a while. We'll take a look at the Andalusia Bulldogs, the team from Andalusia, making about the three-hour trip up tomorrow for tomorrow night's contest in round two. And then we'll look back at the opponents the Volunteers have had this season and how they fared, the ones that were in the playoffs last week, and who advanced and who didn't. And we'll look at some other games in Class 5A upcoming as we're into the second round. 16 teams left now, and there'll only be eight by the time the action's over tomorrow night. But, Coach, let's go back to Volunteer Stadium. Last Friday night, that game played there on the campus of Central High School of Clay County. Our Volunteers took on Sipsey Valley, a 48-7 win. And, Coach, it started out fast for the Volunteers, and fast and furious right out of the gate in the first quarter.
Well, you know, playing a 4-seed, that's the type of team you want to get out to, a good start on. And boy, did we do that. 28 points in the very first quarter, and we scored two touchdowns in the first 3 minutes of the game and never looked back. 28-0 there, and then 34-0 at the half, and then we kind of cleared the bench in the second half. We played two quarterbacks throughout the game. They both got a lot of snaps, and then of course, we got way down into the depth chart as the game moved into the second half. And, one thing that did, it kept us from playing people four quarters and staring the possibility of injuries in the face. And very comfortable lead, a very comfortable game, and we were able to survive it and look ahead to this week.
Coach, we look at some team statistics from last Friday night. First downs, the Vols and the Bears of Sipsey Valley both had 14. Some of that, Coach, due to a lot of times, oftentimes, the Vols had some short fields to work with offensively because the Bears was having issues in their kicking game, especially in the punting area.
Yeah, they dropped a couple of snaps. They had one snap, went over the head. And as you said, it gave us some very short fields to operate with, and we didn't have to navigate long yardage situations to score, and that's what led to those 28 points in that first quarter.
Offensively, the Volunteers only running 38 plays last week, Coach, offensively, to get their 48 points. 26 of those were rushing plays for 248 yards. Sipsey Valley, on the other side of things, ran 65 plays last week. 34 of those were rushes. Coach, their 34 rush attempts netted them 23 yards.
Well, it did, and all the negative plays caught up with them, subtracted from their rushing yardage. And you mentioned the discrepancy in the number of plays, 38 for us, 65 for them. That was because we didn't have to cover much of the field. It didn't take us very many plays. Also, a couple of defensive touchdowns where there were no plays. So
we did.
That's why it was 38 plays to their 65.
The Vols last week, Coach, one of their early touchdowns there in that 28-point explosion in the first half, a defensive interception pick six that was – It wasn't a long one. Maybe 3 or 4 or 5 yards. Zion Newell right there and picked that thing off in just a couple of steps, and he's in the end zone.
That's right. And, you know, we I credited it with a 6-yard interception return.
Right.
But he actually caught it about the 2.
Okay.
So it was a 2-yard interception return pick six.
One of the shortest pick sixes I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to be shorter.
Yeah. That may be the shortest one I've ever seen.
It may be, Coach. Coach, we look at the passing game for the Volunteers, and we had, you know, JT Wilkerson, our starting quarterback. He didn't play last week. But the guys, an admirable job filling in. We had a Hall, we had a Foster, and those guys there. Coach, 9 for 12 in the passing game for 124 yards for the Volunteers. Only one interception between those guys. The Bears, they threw it 31 times. They only completed 16 of them for 167 yards. Coach, I'm going to say Coach Chase Horn, the offensive coaches, they'd be pleased 9 for 12 with whoever was at quarterback for 124 yards.
Well, that's 75%. Pretty good percentage. And plus, we had a 35-yard touchdown pass from J.D. Hall to Zion Newell. And then we had a 10-yard pass from Hudson Foster to Zion Newell. So two TD passes amongst those 9 completions that the Volunteers had.
You look at the Volunteers, Coach, they didn't put the ball on the ground not one time offensively. Sipsey Valley, actually 7 times the ball was on the ground for them. They lost 3 of those fumbles they had. The Volunteers, Coach, one area, pretty messy area of the Vols need to do a better job of this week. Penalties, 13 flags, 13 times the yellow hanky dropped against their Vols for 150 yards.
Well, that situation has occurred 2 or 3 times this year, and Coach Horn has addressed it each time and continues to address it. But, you know, a lot of these penalties sort of retaliation type deals, you know, where we get personal fouls and we fall into the trap that the other team sets when they bait us. And we've got to get away from that because, you know, normally in a football game, if you have 150 yards in penalties in one game, you're not going to survive that game.
And, Coach, we've all told them time after time, and they hear it now, they heard it back in our day, the second man is probably going to be the one that gets caught.
Well, that's always
true. It's always the case. We've got Rusty Taylor in here, the voice of our Vols. He's made his way in here. We had him off on assignment.
He's on the wrong end of the table.
We'll flip around here shortly, but right now he's back in here. He's been on the road on assignment for Volunteer Voices. He is the Volunteer Voice for Football Fiesta and on the go, blowing and going this today.
Turn me up a little bit.
Yeah, let's turn that thing up there and see it.
See, I didn't get my test before I come in here.
There you go.
There we go. We're cooking with gas now. But no, it's all of my own doing. But hey, it was impressive listening to the start of the show on the way back over here. Just perfection is what that was. When it came on, got everything
you're
going.
You're talking now to a couple of radio professionals.
I see that.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, sometimes I think it's good. That's kind of when you're in training. You just have to sometimes just throw them in there. You know what I'm saying? Coach, it's kind of like a player. You know what I'm saying? You look, they do good at practice and they do all that, and you feel like they know what they're doing, but you really don't know until you turn them loose and put them down with their hand down or ready to go. I just kind of put y'all in. Y'all didn't plan on starting the game, but just emergency, know, 5 minutes before start this game. Right,
sometimes
here.
You get into the game and a guy gets hurt. Well, you got to get somebody in there right there.
Do y'all ever remember having a player that you at the last minute you told them they didn't even know it all week, you're starting 5 minutes before the game?
I can remember 2 that
may have been because of an injury in warm-ups or whatever, or something happened and you just decided, hey, some people might do better at that.
I tried sliding this one over, but I couldn't make it happen.
I remember a player one time, Coach, we swore we were not playing him again. And he started the very next game.
I know. I understand how that is. But, yeah, because of me not following through with some of my – or forgetting, getting in a hurry and forgetting my duties. But we got everything covered, and it's good. And, you know, going back to – and you guys have covered it so well. But just a dominating win over Sipsey Valley. And go to Zion Ewell. Talk about Zion Ewell. I think Coach Williams argued with me last week that he didn't have three touchdowns. No. But evidently you didn't write one of the touchdowns down, because he did have three. He is a touchdown machine.
Two receiving in his pick six.
Yeah.
Well, he had two catches.
For touchdowns.
Touchdown catches.
But you said we didn't have it, two catches for touchdowns last week, which told me. So this was during the broadcast. Me and you were slacking a little bit. Coach, you
didn't. Well, he's not even the stat guy anymore.
Well, I know it, but that's the problem. But we have to admit, have you heard about it?
No, I have not.
There was one play last week that I didn't see at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought I kind of felt it out after it, because things got going quick at times.
Right, they did.
And I was looking at stuff, you know, trying to get the
lot
stuff
going
ready
on.
To run.
A lot going on.
And I thought, well, we got there. We must have ran it for about 4 yards. Well, I called it a run, and Coach Wayne said, no, we actually passed that ball. I said, well, I didn't see it, but there was another play that we ran, or they ran. I don't remember. I think it was us. Neither one of us even saw it.
The play.
You remember that?
They were playing so fast. Y'all couldn't even.
Literally, we saw where they ran out of bounds. Didn't know. Right. We without going back and realizing which play it was, we still don't know what they did. But anyway, we're admitting to our failures last week and mean to mine. But the Vols didn't fail in many places with a big 48-7 victory. And y'all talked about it. They came out strong, took control like you needed to do against a four seed, and really dominated that game. I think, if I'm not badly mistaken, we scored three times, three touchdowns in the first 3 minutes. Because, was it right, we scored four plays in on offense.
Four, the pick six.
And then it was the bad snap, and we scored on like second down.
Oh, we were 21 before 3 minutes into the, end of the game.
Then he was a pick six, the third touchdown?
Second or third?
The third one came with 6:45 left in the quarter. We scored the first one after a minute and a half, and then 40 seconds later, we scored a second one.
Okay.
And then the third one came with 6:45.
That's the interception.
Yeah. And then another one came 5 minutes later with 1:36 left in the first quarter.
Well, it was fast and furious.
I think he missed one.
It was fast and furious.
You think he could have missed one, Harry?
Possible.
There's four right there in the first quarter.
But anyway, it happened quick. Because they went three downs. It took us four downs to score. I remember
that. It did.
And we started at about the 45. And took
plus
a 65
yard conversion mixed in there.
Yeah, and then they had their three downs and snapped it, had a bad snap that hopped back there, and he didn't get off or whatever. And then I don't know what down it was I picked the pass off. I thought it was second down, but maybe it was a different down. But they had a couple of penalties in there. But a big win last week, and it's good any time to be advancing into the 5A playoffs.
We look back across the offensive line, those 248 yards. Three of our guys there in the blue last week. We had Noah Peterson, our left tackle, at 88%. His partner right there beside him, Cole Rice, at left guard at 88%. And Clayton Tomlin, our sophomore right guard, at 78%. So three of our five guys there in the blue leading the way for that 248 rushing and 372 total yards. Guys, we've made it to 6:15. Let's go ahead and take our first break. We'll come back, Taylor. It'll be time for the AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week for this week. Miles Parker and his defensive line coach, his position guy, Coach Rock Ward.
We're excited about it.
Football Fiesta Thursday night live from Monte Albán Bar and Grill on Classic Country 90.9.
Do you crave flavor you can trust and a taste you'll remember? Do you know about a place that produces locally, naturally, and proudly? Blair Family Farm and Market is where quality meets tradition. Blair Family Farm and Market is open Wednesday and Thursday 1 to 6, Friday and Saturday 9 to 6 at 1015 Blair Road in Ashland. Blair Family Farm and Market now has all natural beef tallow and many other specialty products including smoke eater, smoke salsa. Support local and eat better at Blair Family Farm and Market. Blair Family Farm and Market is the official farm-to-table meat provider of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Everything Sports in Woodland serves teams, schools, individuals, and businesses with custom gear and promotional items, including team uniforms, hats, t-shirts, banners, plaques, and business cards. Located at 1143 County Road 58 in Woodland, Everything Sports can be reached at 256-357-0336 and on Facebook. Everything Sports is proud to support Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
For over 40 years, folks have turned to Heroes Painting for dependable quality work. Whatever needs painting, Heroes Painting will paint it, as long as it's not a car. From homes to barns, new construction or remodels, and everything else in between, Heroes Painting has you covered. Heroes Painting is available by phone at 256-276-0463. That's 256-276-0463. Heroes Painting is a proud sponsor of Football Fiesta and Heroes Hotline on Classic Country 90.
This is District Attorney Joe Fickwit serving Clay and Coosa counties. Telephone and online scams targeting our citizens are on the rise. If you get a suspicious call, hang up immediately and report it to your local law enforcement. Never give out personal or financial information over the phone. Let's protect our citizens and stop these criminals in their tracks. Stay alert. Stay safe.
District Attorney Joe Fickwood is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
We welcome you back here to Classic Country 90.9 on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network as we're live from Football Fiesta, live from Monte Albán Bar and Grill here on the Ashland Square. This is Rusty Taylor. Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Heron's giving up his headset as we come in with two guests, two special guests. First of all, defensive line coach, Coach Rock Ward. Good to have you, Coach. You may be at the top of the list on coaches' appearances, I think. Maybe.
I know. It feels great to be back. It sort of reminds me of a couple years ago. It seemed like I was in here every week.
Yeah, and it's always a good sign when we yes. got our defensive line coach in here. And I remember you talking about it earlier in the year, how hard it is to do. And look at your guys just keep bringing you back. But yes. One that's bringing you back for his second round this season, our AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week, Miles Parker. Miles, just an awesome performance on last Friday night, and it's good to have you back.
Yes, sir.
Let's go back to Sipsey Valley. Watching film throughout the week, which you've had a great year, but watching film throughout the week, and then you guys get your game plan, what you're going to do. Did you see that? Did you feel that possibility that you could have a really, really big night? And the whole defensive line, but specifically yourself.
Yes, sir. I watched film on them, and I noticed a few things, the little things that they would do, and I just kind of took note on that and brought it to Friday night.
Well, I tell you, it felt like we mentioned it on the live broadcast that you were living in the backfield. It seemed continually we were calling your name. When you make 11 tackles, 8 solos, you're going to get your name called a lot. And I remember you making one there on special teams as well. So it wasn't only done, and you may have made more, but I remember one specifically that you come down early and made on maybe kickoff coverage. So a great job there as well, but just a dominant performance constantly in the backfield. Quarterback hurries, quarterback sack. I think what did he end up with, Coach? Was it 3 quarterback hurries, I think it was, and a quarterback sack. 11 total tackles, 8 tackles for a loss. And Coach Ward, you grade him each week. And if I ain't about a mistake, he graded a 92. Is that right?
Oh, that's correct.
That is
that's high.
Is that the highest grade you've ever given, you think?
No, I think the highest one that I've ever given was a 94, and that was to E.J. Simmons.
Okay. Yeah. But 92 is a okay. Getting in the 90s is just in any position.
Yes.
Is unheard of. So, and not only was he getting in the backfield, because in your grading system, he could have been getting in the backfield and making tackles, but if he wasn't doing it the right way, and just doing it on his own, then that would have cut him. So not only was he getting back there making plays, he was doing it the way he was taught.
Yes. I mean, and like, he played his technique. And that's what I teach them every single day, is to play your technique, do your job, and everything else take care of itself.
Well, Coach Williams, I know you had a history of doing you're a good bit of defensive line coaching yourself, so I know that's something that you automatically take to, number one, being a defensive coordinator, number two, being able to coach that position in the past. What impressed you the most about Miles on Friday?
Well, you know, first of all, I think he may have set a record for having his name called on our radio program. I mean, it seemed like every defensive play, Miles was right there in the middle of the play. But what I wanted to ask you about, this team, Cincy Valley, had a player that had rushed for over 2,000 yards, which is averaging 200 yards a game. And I'm sure that you and your partners up there across the front kind of took that to heart, that there was no way he was going to rush for 200 yards in that game.
Yes.
And like I said, the team averaged 200 yards. They ended up with 23 total yards rushing the football. An incredible performance. And but did the fact that he had rushed for so many yards, did that have y'all's attention? Did it make you want to do something special during that game?
Yes, sir, it did. He had our attention a lot.
Well, you can say that, you know, the focus was certainly there because he was really no factor in that game. And, you know, we forced that team that averaging over 200 yards a game on the ground, we forced them to have to throw the ball 31 times. And when you do that to a team that, you know, when they have to do something completely opposite of what they do best, that's certainly an advantage that you've got right there. Coach Ward, anything y'all did special during the week to get ready for their running game?
Well, I mean, it was basically some of the same things we work on all year. Just playing your technique, doing your job, and showing effort. I mean, like he said, we took that as a challenge. He came in, their running back, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was the leading rusher in the state.
He was.
And we took that as a challenge. And I told him during pregame, I mean, we have to control the line of scrimmage. And I thought we did a great job of doing that, stopping him. I mean, and I tell him, I was like, if you keep being physical with the guy across from you and you keep hitting them, somebody's going to lay down because they're going to get tired of getting
hit.
That's right. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, the defensive front certainly responded in a very positive way, and which I had a feeling, that that's what was going to happen.
Yes, sir.
And it did.
Well, and we look at it, you know, they rushed for 23 yards on 34 carries. So less than a yard a carry. That is an unreal number that they had there. And, of course, some quarterback sacks involved in that, as Miles was very involved in that. Miles, I wanted to speak to you about the rest of the defensive line and some of the guys. But you and Trendon, you guys have been doing this kind of together on up there on those defensive end spots for a good while. Of course, LeShamian's been playing. Good to see him back playing well as well, and Dewey and some of the guys there. But just speak to that. Speak to that, the defensive front and you guys playing together and kind of enjoying yourselves up there.
I think me and Trina have a good connection because we've been together since junior high. And
y'all just have a feel. Do you ever talk back and forth like during the game, hey, this is – watch this. Because sometimes, like tomorrow night, I think you guys will be playing Andalusia. They play and I know you know this, and you guys have studied this, they got a quick side and a strong side. So you'll be – it's something a little different. I mean, you don't see that as much as you used to. So you'll be seeing different personnel blocking you, even if you stay on the same side yourself. So you may notice something at a tackle that, hey, if he does this, you know, he's pass blocking or – you know, something you don't pick up on film. I know you guys have been doing a long time. Some of those finer things really, really make a difference for a defensive lineman. And I know I can see you and Trendon in the huddle saying, hey, Trendon, watch, you know, whatever his number might be, 56. When he does this, you know, he's going to pass block or, you know. So I just – seeing you guys play throughout your career, I can just see you – both of you guys have been dominant guys up front And to me, you used to play it, even though you played the same positions, you played it differently. Coach Ward, I would say now they do, but they look a lot more alike doing it now.
Oh,
I
don't, yes.
I just guess, you know, by what they're coached and the fundamentals, they look very similar playing it. there's no weak and strong side to that defense, that's for sure.
No, there's definitely not a weak and strong side. I mean, sometimes, like, if I see one of them, like, getting tired of something, you know, if I ask them, they're going to say, no, I'm not tired. I'll just signal out there, swap.
Yeah.
You go to one side and let him play the other.
Yeah, so they do some flip-flopping, and,
yeah,
and those guys up there now. Saying that, you have gained depth up there, and I noticed some changes for last week in pass rush situations, really obviously keeping Trenton and Miles in there, but some other personnel and something we've seen like Cam Mullins coming down and playing some defensive line as well in long distance sets.
Yes, if you remember, I think it was last year or the year before last, Cam, he did drop down and play on the line some, and Coach B thought it would be a great job to have him to drop down again because we really don't have to sub. If we sub, I'll just send in another pass rusher for LeShamian, and then Cam will still be there. And, like, if we go back to our base, nobody else has to leave the field. So it makes it easier on us.
And Cam is comfortable with getting down in a stance and probably enjoys it, actually, for a player, too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Especially in long distance. That's a great time for a defensive lineman to get to be on the field in a long distance situation.
Yes.
Coach Weems, do you remember having that ability back in your days of coaching defensive linemen, having guys that were so versatile like a Miles Parker?
Well, we kind of cross-trained all our defensive linemen. You know, the three down spots, we like for them to be able to play any of the three. And, you know, there's a difference. You know, you're talking about playing a tackle. You know, if you're on one side or the other, you may have a different hand down, so you've got to work reps and practice on both sides, and you know, we like for them to be able to play a one, a three, and a five, so they're all kind of interchangeable as you go through the game. But another question I wanted to ask Miles and possibly you too, Coach. We're playing another team tomorrow night that loves to run the football. They like to bring their sets in, their formations. They're going to have more people in there, and that gives them more people at the point of attack. And this is probably a type of offense that a defensive lineman likes to see, because it's going to be a physical battle there in the dirt, and it's going to be a power against power.
Oh, yes, it's definitely going to be power against power. I'm at. We may lose some, we may win some.
That's right.
You just got to keep going.
And don't let them have those explosive plays.
Exactly.
One thing I wanted to mention, you were mentioning the different positions, Coach, and mainly then most people lined up in more of a power set, and you were playing a five-man front counting your defensive ends, and then you were kind of working on those three guys. Now what's different for Coach Ward most of the time is he's really working with three guys, and our defensive ends, now was defensive tackles in our day, they didn't really have containment much.
Nope.
These guys have can't allow, you know, lots of times we still had defensive ends rushing on a pass block that could keep things from getting. Now these guys in this 3-4 look, a true 3-4, they're having to keep containment and keeping things from getting outside of them, which brings on a whole other element in athleticism required.
Yeah, they're kind of a hybrid. You know, they're kind of part tackle and part end is what it amounts to.
Absolutely. Well, Coach Ward, as we get ready to kind of get head towards the end of this segment, I know you're proud of your group, and you're definitely proud of Miles Parker. Just speak to that and what we can expect from the defensive line tomorrow night.
I mean, yeah, I'm really proud of my group, especially Miles. I mean, he's turned it on when we really needed him to. I mean, he's becoming a standout player. I mean, and you want it in these playoff situations to play your best, because it's just a one-game season. I mean, and it's his senior season. So make it your best. I mean, you'll live with these memories for the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, he's making some good ones. And I'm going to say, if our three starting defensive linemen grade over 90 tomorrow night, we'll be in great shape.
Yeah, I mean, all I can say is just get your popcorn ready tomorrow, because it's going to be a good
one. Well, Miles, going back to last week and obviously this season, what do you think's contributed? I know you've been a hard worker. We've talked about you in the weight room. What do you think's contributed? You've been a good player, but you just seem to be taking that next step this season. What do you think's the difference?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, he works hard, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's been focused.
And he also, what's your max on bench?
335 right now.
Okay. What's your max squat?
605.
Okay. Deadlift?
510.
That's probably got some contributions, wouldn't you say that, Coach?
Oh yes.
He's only benching 335, and he's not stoked about that.
That would have been the best back in your day.
I know it would have.
and he's squatting what? Pushing 600. What'd you say?
605.
605, yeah. And deadlifting right there at it. So I think we're seeing some of the hard work that Miles has put in, and that didn't start this year. It's been in the past. Well, Miles, before we let you go and obviously give you your award, you got anything or anybody you'd like to thank or anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
Oh, I'd like to thank my mom, and I'd like to thank Ms. Lindy to help me get on track with getting closer with God and just better myself. And it helps,
absolutely.
It helps me better on the field, just knowing that I got him with me.
Well, that could be a big step forward in the right direction too. So that's good to hear, and we appreciate you, Miles. And we look forward to watching you about four more games at Clay Central. That's our plan, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, at this time, we're going to award Miles Parker, the AGL Solid Waste Authority Player of the Week, for his game against Sipsey Valley, where the Volunteers won 48-7 on November the 7th, 2025. Congratulations, Miles. And we'll take a break right here on Football Fiesta Live on Classic Country 90.9 from Monte Albon, number 2, our Monte Albon Bar and Grill here on the Ashland Square.
This is District Attorney Joe Fickwit serving Clay and Coosa counties. Telephone and online scams targeting our citizens are on the rise. If you get a suspicious call, hang up immediately and report it to your local law enforcement. Never give out personal or financial information over the phone. Let's protect our citizens and stop these criminals in their tracks. Stay alert, stay safe.
District Attorney Joe Fickwood is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Perryland Foods is a locally owned grocery store that has been serving the Lineville community since the early 1970s. They are located in downtown Lineville and are open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. More information is available by calling 256-396-5663. Perryland Foods is proud to sponsor Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys assist clients in auto and motorcycle accidents, 18-wheeler collisions, boating accidents, wrongful death, medical malpractice, premises liability, and workplace injuries, and is known for compassionate, informed representation. Attorneys handle each case personally, not through case managers. Info is available at tfarlaw.com, tpharrlaw.com, or 256-487-6080. Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than those by other lawyers.
When you think about the places that make a place like Lineville feel like home, Young's Drugstore has stood out for generations. For decades, Young's Drugstore was a place that folks would drop in for freshly squeezed orangeades, lemon sours, and hand-dipped ice creams. Now with two locations to serve this community, Young's Drugstore is located on Highway 48 in Woodland and still serving Clay County, but at the Lineville location on Highway 9. Young's Drugstore is proud to sponsor Classic Country 90.9 and the Clay Central Sports Network.
Do you crave flavor you can trust and a taste you'll remember? Do you know about a place that produces locally, naturally, and proudly? Blair Family Farm and Market is where quality meets tradition. Blair Family Farm and Market is open Wednesday and Thursday 1 to 6, Friday and Saturday 9 to 6 at 1015 Blair Road in Ashland. Blair Family Farm and Market now has all natural beef tallow and many other specialty products including smoke eater, smoked salsa. Support local and eat better at Blair Family Farm and Market. Blair Family Farm and Market is the official farm-to-table meat provider of the Clay Central Sports Network.
Everything Sports in Woodland serves teams, schools, individuals, and businesses with custom gear and promotional items, including team uniforms, hats, t-shirts, banners, plaques, and business cards. Located at 1143 County Road 58 in Woodland, Everything Sports can be reached at 256-357-0336 and on Facebook. Everything Sports is proud to support Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
We welcome you back here to Classic Country 90.9 on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network as we are on Football Fiesta live from Monte Album Bar and Grill here on the Ashton Square. This is Rusty Taylor, Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Chris Herron. Coach Herron comes back in there and gets his headset on. Coach, you give up your time, and we definitely want to give you the opportunity to speak to Miles Parker and the performance that you've witnessed throughout the year, but especially Friday night.
Boy, what a performance he had on the defensive side of the ball. Those 8 solos, 3 assists, some hurries, a sack. And it's not surprising at all the performance he had individually. He's one of those guys, you know, his side of the line there, it's tough. It's tough sledding on that side over there where he's at. And it's been fun to watch him over his career and developing the defensive lineman he's become. And, look, you know, he's looking for another good night for him tomorrow night. I know Coach Ward is very pleased and happy he's on his side. I tell you, the thing I took from it, watching it during the game and then seeing those final stats, my goodness, 8 solos, 3 assists, and some of those stats he had. I don't know. He had a very good night, but that tells me there was one or two Sipsey Valley offensive linemen that didn't have a good night.
They couldn't
They somebody graded back. They somebody had some bad grades.
Well, he had 11, which we did. I know he had one solo tackle on the kickoff coverage. So, Miles, whenever he gets the chance to be on the field, he makes a play.
Sure.
But we're saying all this. He ended up with 11 tackles, and the majority of their plays was ran in the second half when Miles was not even in the game.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. I mean, I wonder how many plays – I'm going to say almost half the plays that Miles was in, he was involved in the play.
In the play, yeah.
Maybe it was half, because they ran like 40-something plays. I'm sure when he was in, they might have ran 20-something. Mm-hmm. And he had 11 tackles.
Right.
So, that's just an unreal performance.
And I'll say this, Coach. He was they were discussing his weight room. What he does on each thing
lift
in the weight room.
Yeah, yeah.
He would have been the leader in all 4 major lifts back in the 90s and early 2000s.
Oh, Coach, I've seen him a little bit in there. Been
he would have been far and away, top.
It's amazing what he does in there. And, you know,
we have a very strong football team.
And
yes,
we do. He's, you know, physically, he's not that. You wouldn't expect
him to be. When you see him, no, you wouldn't. I mean, he don't have that girth and that size like that. But he's something else on that field.
Well, even going back to he's enjoyed that size. You know, there's those guys that enjoy lifting weights and enjoy that part of it.
Sure.
Miles has been one.
He's one of them.
That enjoys it. But now he works hard at everything he does, but he enjoys lifting weights, and it shows.
It certainly benefited him, no question.
Well, let's look at tomorrow night's opponent. Anytime you move into the second round of the playoffs in 5A, you know you're gonna be facing a good one. It's good we got it home, and we're facing one that we faced about 5 years ago, and it was a great battle, 28-21. The Andalusia Bulldogs will be coming in for this second round game. They're 8-3, but they have lost. They lost a really large team out of Florida. I think Pace, Florida. Then they lost to Enterprise, which is a 7A team. And then they lost in overtime. Probably when you go back and watch that film, you can argue that they shouldn't have lost that game, but they did lose to Montgomery Catholic, last year's 5A champion. So when we say they've lost 3 games, it's not a normal 3 losses. I know y'all were able to talk to Coach Taylor today, and it was good to hear him. That was a good interview. I thought he did a great job with that. But really – And Coach Horn and I talked about it today. I was able to talk to Coach Horn today. If there's a team in an area a good ways away from us that resembles us, to me, Andalusia might fit that bill. They're a smaller community, not real small, but smaller, but close-knit. They bring a ton of people to the games. They have a well-supported program, and they're consistently winning football games and going deep into the playoffs. So, y'all just speak to what y'all expect to see out of Andalusia.
Well, I've watched more tape on them than any other team this year, and I'm impressed with them, particularly on defense. They're very good defense. And then offensively, they do a lot of things. You know, they get a lot of people in there, you know, when tight, and they run power stuff. So, this is going to be a war up on the line of scrimmage tomorrow night. And – You know, they have an explosive number 23, Skanes, I think is his name, a very dangerous player that we'll have to keep an eye on and know where he is at all times. The quarterback is, you can count him as one of their runners because he will run the ball a lot. But this is a very well-coached team. Their kicking game looks to be pretty sound. So I'm looking for a great football game tomorrow night.
Coach Aaron, what's your take on the Bulldogs?
Well, you know, as Coach Williams mentioned, that offensively it's the formations are very condensed. Everything's in there tight. It's going to be more of, at times, it's going to kind of have that old school feel to it. Power running, you know, they're 75-80% running the football. You know, some pullers, some leads, just buck sweeps and power stuff coming straight ahead. You know, with their running game, when they throw it, you know, they're going to throw most things off of play action once they've, you know, showing you a lot of that run. That makes your DBs, your people responsible in pass coverage going to have to be very disciplined and trust their reads. And, you know, when they spring up some of that play action stuff on us, trust in what they read as the play starts. And then defensively, you know, we're going to have all kind of different looks. There's going to be mostly a four-man front we're going to see, but we'll see a five-man front at times. We'll see a 6-2. We get into some short yardage situations. Long yardage, we'll see a 4-3 with an extra DB brought in the game, that type of thing. One of their players that stands out to me defensively is number 12. A lot of times he's kind of a safety slash linebacker guy. He starts out kind of deep back at safety depth, but by the time the play starts and things get going, he's worked his way up to linebacker depth and helping control gaps up there on the front. So you're never really sure where he's going to be coming from. It's going to be one of those type games. It's going to be physical. The line of scrimmage is always important, but it's going to be, you know, extremely important tomorrow night. Whoever can win the battles there individually along the line of scrimmage is going to go a long way in helping their team have a chance to be successful. Our offensive line communication is going to be crucial, the way they change their fronts around sometimes. Stance, step, and fit, those basic three things where it all starts for an offensive lineman. The fundamentals, because Andalusia, fundamentally sound. Coach Taylor been at Andalusia 38 years, a 38-year head coaching career overall. He's been there 11. We're going to have to be able to run some zones, maybe a little more than we have, to kind of counter some of their alignments, because it's not going to be consistent what we get from them. And then we've got to be able to establish some power running straight ahead up in between the tackles and establish that there. They look to – they seem to be – wanting to spill everything out like a lot of teams do, but we're going to have to be able to pound up in there and get some tough yards straight ahead. And we're just going to have to offensively, all the positions, trust our rules, you know, linemen blocking, backs where they fit off the lineman blocks, that type thing, quarterbacks making quick reads and going to the hot checks, you know, when they sometimes they're going to send more folks than we can block. So it's going to take a good effort physically and mentally out of the Volunteers to get a win over a very good Andalusia Bulldog team tomorrow night.
And one other note, Coach, their defensive line, number 11, number 6, and number 10. You know they're good athletes with those numbers.
They're right. It tells you something about
well, that's
the
one
numbers
thing
they wear.
That jumps out at you. They're not overly huge. They have some big guys, but they play some, and they're playing a few more people both ways than what we're accustomed to seeing. But one thing you talked about, they kind of base out of a 4-3, you would call it, kind mm-hmm. of a wide. It's kind of an odd 4-3, but it's almost most of the time, as you said, ends up being a 4-4 because that
Night
safety
12,
is
that,
up,
it's
up in there.
He's coming.
He's walking up.
He
he's
is.
Coming up, and he finds the football around the line of scrimmage mm-hmm. a lot. So an excellent player that he is, got to keep his mind. And his coach said earlier, number 23 is a wide receiver. They'll run a lot of jet sweeps with him. He's one of those athletes, they just want to get the ball in the hand. But if they're putting it in the air, you better find number 23 because
that's right.
who they're looking
yeah,
for.
That's right.
So,
yep.
He's an impressive player. But I will say this, they're a very, very good team and something you would expect to see in the second round. But you know, if the Volunteers come and handle business and do the things that they're supposed to do, the Volunteers will be fine tomorrow night. That's what we would tell you. They're not going to be able to out physical us and go back to Andalusia with a win. It's going to be a great football game, but we're not outmanned by the Andalusia Bulldogs
no.
tomorrow night.
Whoever wins the line of scrimmage is going to win this game.
That's exactly right.
And You know, I wanted to talk to you guys. It's something we used to do a little, especially you see a lot in the wing tee, which a lot of their stuff that they line up in shotgun is a little bit like the wing tee in a gun. They do run a quick and a strong side.
They do.
You know, we don't see that much anymore, but it's a, but it's an interesting look for a defensive coordinator. You know, they run both quick and strong side, but they do like to pull a lot of people, which anybody that uses a quick side and a strong side usually does, but they'll pull their strong side. But what challenges does that present, or is it something sometimes you can key on the defensive side, you think?
Well, I think like any other team, when they really need something, they're going to the strong side if it's an inside play.
But and if it's they're probably bringing – weak side player, strong side to help.
Well, that's why they run a lot of counters with that quick side pulling.
But a lot of the wide stuff you'll see go to the quick side to be able to get their tackle and stuff out there in space.
And that edge is
like
shorter.
A quick play, yes. And they're able to get out. And it interests me because we ran that when I was in school, and I was on the quick side and the quick tackle. And, you know, they'd put us out there, you know, quick pitches and stuff, you're out blocking a corner.
Yeah.
You know, if you run the right, you know, do things right
way. You still going to rely and trust your reads is the main thing.
But you can – and they're a smart team. It's not, you're not going to get them caught up in, hey, they do this a whole lot. We know exactly what they're running. They're just not going to do that. They're going.
Plus, we've seen every film, every game they played. We probably know in key situations throughout the season where they're going to run their best plays, and that's in your scouting report.
Well, this is another thing. They've played in two overtime games of late. They won the region in overtime, or lost the region in overtime. They played, and then they won last week in overtime. So if they've got it, we've seen them use it.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I mean, they've needed it, and they've you. Now they may have put some stuff in, but I'm talking about their best stuff. They don't have much hidden in the toolbox.
We know the history of where their best plays go.
Absolutely. Well, we'll take our last break here.
Boy, this is long tonight.
Well, it is, but we have less to talk about. We have less to go over in our last segment than. Than normal. We don't have.
I think Weems has still got a lot to say.
Oh well, I'm sure he does.
Wait. Just hang on, Coach. We're not off yet.
No, I'm through.
Yeah, but just hang on.
When he's through, I mean, he's just through. But we'll take a break right here on Football Fiesta. Come back the last segment. We'll be looking at our opponents, how they fared, 5A, how they looked, and who knows what Coach Weems has got in store for us in this last segment here on Football Fiesta on Classic Country 90.9.
When you think about the places that make a place like Lineville feel like home, Young's Drugstore has stood out for generations. For decades, Young's Drugstore was a place that folks would drop in for freshly squeezed orangeades, lemon sours, and hand-dipped ice creams. Now with two locations to serve this community, Young's Drugstore is located on Highway 48 in Woodland and still serving Clay County, but at the Lineville location on Highway 9. Young's Drugstore is proud to sponsor Classic Country 90.9 and the Clay Central Sports Network.
Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys handles a range of serious injury cases, including auto accidents, 18-wheeler crashes, motorcycle and boating accidents, wrongful death, premises liability, and workplace injuries. Their attorneys provide direct legal support throughout each case. Known for professionalism and client-centered service, the firm emphasizes trust and communication. Info is at tfarlaw.com, tpharrlaw.com, or 256-487-6080. Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than those by other lawyers.
We welcome you back here to Classic Country 90.9 and Football Fiesta live from Monte Album Bar and Grill on Ashland Square. Rusty Taylor, Coach Chris Herring, Coach Jerry Weems, Heath Stroud on the stream and the setup and whatever else we ask him to do. Bone takes care of it. Coach Herring, I know you've got some stuff to.
Where's character?
That's a good question. He's probably still riding around the square as many times we saw him win.
Oh, good.
Hey, when I came back, he may have had the same trouble I did. He may be still looking for a parking place.
It may be.
When I left, I would have been back a couple minutes early, but I couldn't find anywhere to park. I started just parking the turning lane.
Let's hit a few scores. We've got a halftime score right now we want to get in there. College basketball, number 2, Purdue, number 8, Alabama in Tuscaloosa at halftime. Purdue 43, Alabama 41.
Good game going on.
Good game going. Tide needs a little more. They need a little more scoring. They need to pick up the pace a little in the second half. We look back to our schedule, our opponents from the regular season. 7 of them involved in the state playoffs last week, round 1. The Hanley Tigers, they're now sit at 10-1 after a 40-7 win last week over Bibb County. They'll be at home this tomorrow night taking on Jackson, the number 1 team in 4A, coming up from the Mobile area to play at right field there in Roanoke, the Hanley Tigers. Benjamin Russell there sitting at 10-1 on the season. They won last week at home over Tuscaloosa Central, 26-14. They'll be hosting Theodore tomorrow night at the Sportsplex down in Alexander City. The Valley Rams 6-4 on the year after dropping a game last week. They lost to the Shelby County Wildcats 26-23, so Valley ends their season at 6-4. Scottsboro, that group of Wildcats, 7-4 now on the year after a 45-14 win over West Point, and they'll be at home tomorrow night facing the St. Clair County Saints. Elmore County, from our region, they go on the road last week to Demopolis, and they win. They beat the Demopolis Tigers 21-20. Elmore County now at 8-3, and they're home tomorrow night, guys, against Williamson. They've got Williamson coming to Eclectic. And in 2 other teams in the regular season schedule, Beauregard, they finished the year 3-8 after losing the Northside last week, 48-14. And Pale City finishes their season with a 7-4 record. They lost at Homewood, the Patriots, 28-14 over the Pale City Panthers.
Well, Coach Weems, I know you were looking at 5A and the 5A playoff bracket. Some of those have already been mentioned, but you can go down through there and tell the matchups that will be happening tomorrow night.
All right, we'll cover the south bracket first, where Central of Clay is. Of course, tomorrow night, Northside plays Vigra. And the winner of our game, Central Clay and Andalusia, will play the winner of Northside and Vigra next week in the quarterfinals. And then the other two
and
games.
If we were to win,
yeah,
we would be on the road either way.
Either way. We would be either going to Northside, which is over north of Tuscaloosa, or we would be going to Mobile to play Vigra. And Northside, by the way, right now is 11-0. And Vigra, you remember, was ranked number 1 most of the year in the regular season before they lost a late game there to Williamson. But the other two games in the south bracket, you've got Catholic of Montgomery, who, of course, defeated Andalusia a couple of weeks ago to win that region. They'll be playing Shelby County. And then Coach Heron mentioned the other game, Williamson and Elmore County. That will round out the south bracket. And then looking quickly at the north part of 5A, you've got Fairview playing Jacksonville tomorrow night. Fairview still undefeated. Scottsboro, a team that we met back about the middle of the season, they'll be playing St. Clair County tomorrow night. And then the other two games in the bottom of the north bracket, you've got Moody traveling to Priceville tomorrow night, and you've got Briarwood will be hosting Russellville. So a lot of good teams still left, and most of them, by the way, are in the south. You've got undefeated Northside, you've got Vigra, of course, Andalusia, you've got Catholic, and you've got Williamson all in that south bracket. And the only undefeated team in the north is Fairview, and they'll be tackling nearby Jackson. They'll be coming to Jacksonville, by the way, tomorrow night. So that's what we've got. And then looking at the 1A bracket, if I can come across that, I wanted to mention Wadley. We'll be traveling tomorrow night to Meek up in North Alabama. Wadley is traveling to Meek tomorrow night, and that's the only local team that's in 1A. In Class 2A,
Randolph County.
Randolph County is playing.
They're hosting Bayside Academy.
No, they're 3A, Coach Wayne.
That's 3A.
That's 3A.
Right.
Pleasant Valley. Pleasant Valley will be traveling to Tuscaloosa County Academy tomorrow night. and Vincent will be going to Pisgah. And then looking at 3A, you mentioned Randolph County. They'll be hosting Bayside Academy. And then one of our Radio Alabama schools, Lee Scott, they'll be traveling to Montgomery Academy tomorrow night. Piedmont, they'll be hosting 5 in 3A in a 3A game tomorrow night.
That's a good game, man. Hey, Anniston-Madison Academy tomorrow night.
How about that? Anniston undefeated.
Yeah.
11-0.
One of those undefeated teams there in 4A. Any other games that
– Ben Russell, they'll be hosting Theodore tomorrow night in 6A.
Any other games before we get off here? We got a few minutes here. Any other games, either one of you is really – we mentioned those are kind of our locals, but any other games that just jump out at you in the state?
I kind of like that Mary Montgomery at Thompson game in 7A.
I figured you might. I figured that's where you would go.
Yeah, I kind of like that one.
And 7A, by the way, they're already – this is their quarterfinal
round.
It is.
It sure is.
They have fewer teams.
And do you know the north of Montgomery, the only team left in 7A is Thompson.
The rest of them are in the South.
Montgomery South.
Most of the classes, the power teams.
They don't have a north
in the South.
They don't have a north south.
They changed
7A.
It up. They changed that up in class 7A.
So it can flip flop around.
Right.
But some big games, and we'll be trying to keep you updated on the drugstore scoreboard tomorrow with all those scores throughout the game. Tommy Wood's going to kind of be helping us keep updates there of the scores so we can give them throughout the game tomorrow night. I want to remind you that if you want to watch the game, you're unable to be there, you'll have to do that on NFHS. We will be having our broadcast there live. Bone will be on it on NFHS and have that live. These games are owned by the AHSAA, and that's the way you have to stream those. So that'll be the only way to watch. You can listen to us the way you normally do on Classic Country 90.9, on the Radio Alabama app, or online there, however you normally listen to us, we'll be there. I also want to remind you that we will be having Volunteer Voices on Saturday morning, 8 to 10. Myself, Coach Heron, Tommy Wood will be bringing you Volunteer Voices, and we'll be looking at all the high school games throughout the state and also some important college games. I know there's one big important one is Alabama and Oklahoma, but Coach Herod, anything you got, we get ready to close out this broadcast.
Hey, we're just looking for a big, good crowd tomorrow night out at Volunteer Stadium. We want folks to make their way there, support all the guys and the programs around the football team. And there's 16 teams tonight that are preparing for that game tomorrow night. By about 10 o'clock tomorrow night, there'll only be 8 of them left. So let's get out there and do what we can from our standpoint as the guys take the field tomorrow night. Exciting game. Two very good football teams have a lot of similarities, a lot of things in common. It's a game that if both teams play well should be a very exciting, good high school football game.
Coach Williams, anything as we close?
Well, this is going to be a classic playoff game tomorrow night. Two outstanding teams battling, and we mentioned it's going to be a war on the line of scrimmage tomorrow night.
We can't wait for it, and we'll be broadcasting right here however you listen to us tonight. We look forward to it. Till next time, God bless, and go Vols.
You've been listening to Football Fiesta, part of the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network, a production of Radio Alabama Sports and the Radio Alabama Foundation. Sponsored by Catch 'Em All Sporting Goods, Heroes Painting, Farr and Associates Injury Attorneys, Young's Drugstore, Perryland Foods, Everything Sports, and Clay and Coosa County District Attorney Joe Fickwit. This broadcast is copyrighted by Radio Alabama for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this broadcast without Radio Alabama's consent is strictly prohibited. Thanks for listening.